Lecture topic, The Legacy of Good Akhlaq.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Most respected students of Deen, brothers and sisters. This ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala describes the akhlaq and the character of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he had the most sublime character, the very best akhlaq, and at the peak of all good traits and ways and manner, and the best character that could ever be imagined. So Allah Ta'ala highlighted this aspect in the life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Quran Sharif, so that we who are his followers and claim to love him, claim to follow him, so we too will be spurred on to try and adopt good akhlaq at all times and live in a way that we try to emulate the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously, what maqam and position he reached, nobody can come a fraction close to that. But we also have to keep trying. And there is no point in time that we can claim we are done, we have accomplished what is required, we have achieved the level of akhlaq that is desired, and therefore there's no more need for us to make further effort. This is an ongoing thing, lifelong, to make an effort to improve our akhlaq, to improve our character. Many a times, people excel in ibadat, which is an excellent thing itself, alhamdulillah. But even sometimes a person who is excelling in ibadat but is not conscious about akhlaq to the extent that it should be, not conscious about muasharat and social life and what is the dini mizaj, the dini temperament, the dini mindset that a person should have in terms of muashara, in terms of social life, how we live with others, what kind of akhlaq we show. These are things which are sometimes regarded as secondary, regarded as not so serious. Well, if it's going well, it's fine. If it's not going too well too, it's okay. That kind of story. Well, whereas that's not the case. The case is that while ibadat cannot be compromised, especially the farz and wajib, that there's no way that can be compromised, but and ibadat, apart from the farz and wajib, also has to, we have to make an effort in that. But as much as that is important, the great importance of muasharat, of muamalat, dealings, muasharat, social life, and likewise the very great importance of akhlaq, this cannot be overemphasized as well. And unfortunately, many a person, due to poor akhlaq, poor muasharat, muamalat, they'll end up losing their ibadat on the day of Qiyamah. So we cannot afford that. So we have to make an effort in ibadat as well, and make an effort in our muasharat and akhlaq as well, so that our passage to akhirat is clear, we don't get bogged down as a result of any lapses in these matters. So this is the beautiful way of life that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam displayed, his Mubarak way, which is all comprehensive. It takes care of every facet of a person's life, and in every way that a person becomes a very good human being, if he follows in the Mubarak footsteps of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, becomes a very good human being and a very great ummati and an excellent servant of Allah Ta'ala. And this is what is the most important thing, that we become the true servants of Allah Ta'ala in every sense of the word, and the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So mashallah, this beautiful way of life, the Sahaba Ikram, they then took it from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lived and emulated this life and lived it to the best of their ability. And then they passed it on. And in every era, there were those fortunate people who took this to heart and they did their best. And mashallah, they excelled in all these aspects. So this is what we have to be trying to achieve, not only concentrating on one part of life and neglecting the others, because as mentioned just now, sometimes if a person, despite excelling in ibadat, etc., but if there is deficiency in muamalat, in muasharat, in akhlaq, due to the wrongs that will get committed, we could end up losing all our ibadat as well. In any case, on this note, one aspect that came up was that recently, 2 weeks ago, I lost my younger sister, and many of her beautiful qualities and characteristics within came forth from those many things which everybody knew about, many things very few people knew about. So as these things began getting spoken about, many people asked that this should be discussed. Our principal, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salih Sahib, Daun Barakatum, also he encouraged that this should be discussed in bayans and so on. It might serve as an inspiration. So on that note, some things, inshallah, will be mentioned now. This is not for the sake of singing some praises of any family member, etc. It is as a means of, inshallah, encouragement, as a means of inspiration. It's not that there is nobody else that possesses these qualities. Mashallah, many people out there would have even maybe even more also. Allah knows who's who and what is the quality and what is the caliber of a person. And especially, mashallah, those who are within the four walls of the home and quietly doing what they are supposed to do, most people will not be aware at all, like in this particular case. It's only then when somebody brings it forth that many of these things come to light. So mashallah, what their caliber might be, what their maqam might be, Allah knows. But on a general note, this serves as an inspiration, and especially in the times that we are in, where there's so much of focus on the material things of dunya, and these values which were very common previously are gradually becoming lesser and lesser. That is unfortunately a very glaring reality. Especially when dealing with the issues of society, people's issues, it becomes very evident that many of these values are fast decreasing. We won't say it's gone. Alhamdulillah, there are many who uphold all these values, but it is not so common like it used to be previously. Things that were taken as standard before, but nowadays it's becoming the exception almost. So in any case, on that note, since this is something of this zamana, this era, it's as fresh as now, it might inshallah serve as some inspiration, serve as some encouragement. So on that note, some of the things that I wish to share. So one of the aspects that mashallah was very glaring in her life was her simplicity. With all the things that go around nowadays, and everybody is trying to compete with others, illa mashallah, or if not compete, but we get affected by things around, though we're not competing with others, but we see what others have, and we also start desiring to also upgrade and update and so on and so forth. So this is a common thing, and it starts creeping in a very subtle way. It starts changing a person's thinking, the person's lifestyle, a person's wants and desires. So in any case, in what her simplicity was all about, Just a few points now which will give us some idea. So she was married 41 years, and when she entered the home of her in-laws, where she stayed for that entire time till she now left this dunya, so for that 41 years she lived with her husband and her in-laws. So 27 years out of that her mother-in-law was there, then she passed away, and then the father-in-law passed away just barely some 4 months ago. So in this time she was in that same home. 41 years ago, that wardrobe that was there for her, that's the same thing that's still there today. She didn't ask for it to be changed at any time. It was a two-drawer wardrobe that is still there, which that was what contained whatever she had in terms of clothing and so on. And at the time when she left this dunya, she owned one sandal. She had one more before that, which also got broken or something not long before. So she had one only at the time. She owned one pair of sandals only at the time when she passed away. And what I was told is that she had one handbag of hers, which mainly when she would travel, last time was in 2018, that they went for Umrah, that was the time, and mainly that would be used. There were two others which were given to her as gifts. She bought nothing else in that regard. Very, very minimal in these things. These things didn't attract her as such that she now saw somebody having this or that, so she wanted to change this or that. Very simple, everything in the home was very simple, basic, same thing that was there 41 years ago. By and large, that's how it was. She never asked for it to be changed, never asked for anything to be upgraded, never asked anything to be now made a little bit more modern and better. Once the curtains get worn out, so somebody else had changed their curtains and they somehow came and left the second-hand curtains here to be used elsewhere, so those curtains were put into her room. She says, fine, it serves the job. What's the need for new curtains? Somebody gave us this now, so fine. That was the level of simplicity. Now, these things are generally not so common nowadays. We won't say it doesn't exist, but it's not common that a person 41 years can continue in that manner and not want anything else, not even wish to upgrade these kind of things. 41 years, that wardrobe, two doors, and that is what contained all the belongings in terms of clothing and so on. These are not common things. Not that she couldn't afford. One is now a person cannot afford anything more, but she could have afforded much more, and it was available to her, but she didn't want it. She didn't ask for it. Now this is a very great imani quality, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted, innal badazata minal iman. Innal badazata minal iman. He repeated this, that simplicity is part of iman. Simplicity is a quality of iman. So this, mashallah, at this level is not so commonly found. We won't say it doesn't exist again, but it's not so commonly found in a person who can afford more. But despite the affordability, this was the contentment. And the contentment is the greatest wealth. So in the simplicity was this contentment, which is the greatest wealth. This is in the Hadith Sharif, innal ghina, ghina nafs. The greatest wealth is the wealth of the heart, that contentment. And the happiest person is a content person. If the person has contentment, and mashallah, this was the happiness that could always be seen on her. Despite whatever the issues are, she's always smiling, and she would be smiling and all the time very cheerful with people around her and so on. But this happiness stemmed out of the contentment, the simplicity. Simplicity creates ease. The contentment creates peace. And this is what we abandon this, and we are looking for the ease and the peace in where it doesn't lie. We complicate things for ourselves. We make things difficult for ourselves because it must be in a certain manner, in a certain way, must match like this and must be like that, and must be on a certain standard and a certain level and so on and so forth. And then we're not content with that as well. That too must keep getting upgraded and updated. So as a result, we complicate things for ourselves, we make it difficult for ourselves, and we're still not happy. because of the lack of contentment. So now this was, mashallah, a very glaring thing. Then another, mashallah, very great thing Allah Ta'ala blessed her with was her zeal for khidmat. Now, khidmat, mashallah, we all understand what's khidmat. But just to get a glimpse of the khidmat that she, alhamdulillah, made. So, as mentioned, 41 years she lived in that same home with her in-laws. And out of that 27 years her mother-in-law was still alive. Then father-in-law was still alive until about 4 months ago. So she carried on making khidmat of the whole family. And in this time, her husband's aunt, so it's not her own aunt, husband's aunt, got very ill, and she had no children. Husband was late. So she told her husband, my brother-in-law, that you bring your aunt, we will look after her. So he said, but where are you going to keep her here? There's 3 rooms. So the parents-in-law were occupying 1 room, they were occupying the other room, and their children were occupying the 3rd bedroom. So, but where are you going to now keep her in the home? So she said, no, you bring her. And the dining room, will remove the whatever is there in the dining room, put the bed there, put a curtain, and we'll look after her here. So any case, this is what was done. So the auntie-in-law she brought into her home, and there was no other place, so she put her into the dining room, made the dining room into a bedroom to make her comfortable there. And this lady, who was quite elderly at that time, was bedridden. So every last khidmat was my sister's. Now she took it upon herself. So every last khidmat, any time of the day, and repeatedly sometimes in the middle of the night, she would call out from there because she was bedridden, and immediately her sleep will break. Immediately she'll go to attend to her. Sometimes it would happen multiple times in a night, and this continued for more than a month until she passed away, that elderly lady passed away. But in that time, without any hesitation, any issue at all, wholeheartedly and willingly, she asked for the husband's aunt to be brought into the home, which she had no idea this lady will live for just 1 more month. It could have been 6 months, it could have been 1 year, it could have been more than that. But she was wholeheartedly ready to undertake this so that she could then make the khidmat necessary, because this person had nobody else to take care of her. And then sometime later, her mother-in-law got very ill. She came down with cancer. And then she ended up in a similar situation, and for an extended period of time, and all the khidmat she undertook without any difficulty, without any issue, including running the whole home, seeing to all the chores and tasks of the home, but then the personal khidmat, all that was done without any issue. Then going on, mother-in-law finally passed away. Some years later, the father-in-law got ill, and he was more or less now confined to the home. And in order to attend to him and make sure that if there's anything, then things are, he's not in a problem, he's not like stranded without some necessity or whatever the case is. As time went and he became a little bit more homebound and ill, so for about 2.5-3 years of the last part of his life, she also went nowhere, meaning her own family functions or anything. She remained out of the need to continue making the khidmat, whatever might just come up. So because he couldn't be left alone, so she would remain and just to take care of whatever some sudden need might come up, so that he's not left stranded. Now this was the extent of khidmat, which is not, we won't say that it is non-existent, but it's not common, definitely not common, unfortunately. Nowadays, people shy away from the khidmat of elderly people. As a result, we find that now what is known as, in a more dignified way, call it retirement villages or home for the elderly, but where people are brought and left there because nobody wants to take care of them. Unfortunately, this is becoming a very common thing nowadays. Many places now they are looking, and out of the sheer necessity, people in the community who have this concern, they are establishing it because people are just abandoning elderly people. So this is becoming a common problem, unfortunately. But here we see, mashallah, and many, alhamdulillah, have this khidmat, this zeal. But now this was not even one's own parent, one's own aunt, but yet she initiated it and asked to have her aunt brought. Then without any issue, the khidmat of her in-laws. And obviously all this, it takes its toll sometimes, but not an issue ever. Then stemming from khidmat alongside it was the hospitality. Alhamdulillah, this jazba is alive in the ummah, the zeal to serve, to host people, to feed guests. Alhamdulillah, this is not dead, it's well alive in the ummah. But some people, mashallah, excel in it. And she was among those who, alhamdulillah, really excelled in this. And the testimony is from so many people. Now every other person you meet who had some interaction with the family, with my brother-in-law, and they would go from time to time to visit him, etc. He used to have a lot of people coming to visit him. And all say that we hardly would get there, and already something will be sent for us to eat, or we'll be called to now partake of things there. And this was an ongoing thing. Many people, some would come after Fajr. They would come accompany him to just come drop him off or whatever. So they must come in and have something to, some tea or whatever the case is. This was a very common thing. And anybody who went, there was always things ready for the guests. She would be, not if there's somebody coming confirmed, it was like always that there would be somebody coming. So things that would be served to guests, some desserts, some baking, etc., was not just one kind, several kinds always available. And always being served. It was a regular, it's not that it was lying there for long periods of time, and ongoing. And all this would carry on. So this khidmat, mashallah, she had this jazba of khidmat, this hospitality. On this note of khidmat also, one other incident that was mentioned, that her sister-in-law lived in the house behind, in the outhouse sort of. So at one point in time, she was already raising like about 8, 9 of her children of all us, very young age, and all the work she was doing herself, bringing them up. So sometimes my sister would see her from the kitchen window, busy putting her clothing, washing on the line. So she would stop all her work, and she would go down to assist and help to put, because now 8, 10 children's clothing, and now help to assist to put it on the line. Later in the afternoon, this would be a common thing. Many times it happened that she would go and check on the clothes. If it dried out, she would bring it off the line, bring it up to her house, iron it herself, and then go and deliver it. Now, mashallah, many people, alhamdulillah, have the zeal of khidmat, but this is probably not such a common thing that somebody will undertake this. But this, mashallah, of her own accord, she wasn't asked to do it. Nobody asked her, nobody requested her, nobody indicated anything to her. But of her own zeal, she would do things like this. As far as part of the hospitality, many neighbors, say from time to time, they needed anything, without any hesitation, they would come to her. Meaning neighbors, not just next door, several doors on either side, meaning in the block, but without any hesitation because of the rapport that was built. Any new neighbor came into the vicinity, she would make a point of going to visit the lady of that house and introducing herself. I'm so-and-so, this is where I live, this is my address. Anytime you have anything, any need, feel free to come. This was the rapport that was built with the neighbors as well. Now, she wasn't an alima, very highly educated in deen, in terms of the details. She didn't study big, big kitabs. Let alone an alima, she wasn't even a muallima, she didn't have any class that she ran. Not that these are, mashallah, those who are doing all these khidmat, alhamdulillah, this is a very great thing. She was a simple person in her home, in the four walls of her home, doing her work, but this was the essence of so many ahadith that she lived. She probably didn't know all those ahadith by heart, she didn't know maybe one hadith of these things, these particular aspects by heart. She couldn't give the explanation of those ahadith as some talk and some lecture. she couldn't write any article on all these matters. She was not trained for all that. But she lived it, alhamdulillah. What many of us sometimes can give big lectures on, I'm talking about myself, but the amal of it is far behind what we talk about. And here the talking was maybe nothing in terms of any explanations and details and whatever else, but the essence of what was in the Hadith Sharif about all these aspects of Mu'asharat and Akhlaq, that was being lived, that was being displayed, that was being, the essence of it was there for one and all to experience, those who were there around. So this was the kind of, mashallah, the zeal. Some neighbor says that whenever we would come back from sometimes some journey, we gone out, so we would leave our keys with her. And when I'm returning, then send a message to her that, look, we're coming tomorrow, we'll fetch the key. So she will reply to her neighbor that when you come to fetch the key, then the food will also be ready. To make sure you don't do anything else, don't go buy anything from anywhere. When you take the key, you take the food along one time. So as much as they would insist no, but that lady would come, that food will be ready, she'll take that food and go. She says that this is how it was, and on many occasions, sometimes in the December month, when everybody's helpers are all gone, and people are then very, very hesitant to take on anything else, she says this food will be ready, and she would prepare everything and it'd be there for us. So this was the kind of hospitality, the generosity. Anybody would come, family people, children, there will always be some gifts for everyone. The children will always go back with something. And despite that she could afford to spend on herself, but this was what was spent on. So these were things that were very glaring in her life. Likewise, the akhlaq side of it, this is something which was on another level. My brother-in-law says that 41 years passed, and things happen between spouses as well. It's in any home. Some things happen here and there, but he says he never heard her raising her voice in 41 years. 41 years is not a small period of time. But he says he never, 41 years, she didn't have an argument with her in-laws. Not that she may not have been upset about something sometimes. Oh, these things happen, we're all insan. But she didn't get into any argument. And she continued as if nothing happened, with the same cheer, with the same smile, and she continued. Any time anybody went, anybody in the family, nobody knows of a time that when they went and she didn't receive them cheerfully, let alone receive them cheerfully, like she was on top of the world that somebody came to visit. And she would now be more than excited about their coming, and she wants to immediately start feeding everyone and doing things. So, as said, that she didn't have many big qualifications of anything. But alhamdulillah, there are many others of this nature also, whoever Allah Ta'ala blesses with this tawfiq. So, they have this jazba, this zeal. But this is the lesson for us, that mashallah, while we are increasing in our knowledge, and that is why this discussion is taking place here now, because it's addressed to those who are studying in the madrasa, those who are acquiring further Islamic education in the madrasa. This is now primarily discussed with you. And you are still now in this age where these things are still sometimes looking very distant from you. And in this phase of life where you are still, some of you are in probably 13 years old, 14 years old, 17, 18 years old maybe. In this phase of life, we are looking around at how things are going around, and this materialism is gripping people, the things that, whatever else goes around. So as a result, the mindset is different. From time to time, I hear these kind of things where a father said to me recently, my daughter's understanding is, she's not married yet. I'm talking about a father now who himself, mashallah, is very conscious of deen. 5 times a day, he's performing his salah. His daughter is performing her salah as well. But her concept, he's telling me, is that her concept is that all the chores of the home and so on, that's her husband's responsibility. The day she gets married, that's his responsibility. Now, where this stems from? It stems from this whole ideology of feminism. So she's now taken this on. Now, she wants to live that kind of life. How long that marriage is going to last? or what kind of peace is going to be there in that home. Now that's another story, that's another subject. But the point is that alhamdulillah, those who lived their lives in the way that deen taught us, then they lived a very respectful life. They lived a life, mashallah, which very quietly carried on with what they were supposed to do. But mashallah, this is what people are singing about now, taking a lesson from it. But this is the lesson that is being shared with yourself, for myself first and foremost, and shared with yourself, that we need to take these lessons from others also, mashallah. Many others, they have beautiful akhlaq, they set a wonderful example. Sometimes there are things that we learn from people who are under our own roof, might be younger than us, might be elder than us, people in our families, people who are strangers to us. So in any case, this was her akhlaq, which is a very high level of akhlaq. Never in an argument with anybody. If she had some issue, she discussed it with her husband, that was it. One of the things he mentioned to me, he says, if ever, now things happen sometimes, if ever he became a bit reserved, then even if she was 100% right, she'll come and say, maaf, please, okay, let's make maaf and let's forgive me and let's move on. Though she was convinced also she was 100% right, and he knew also. But if he just became a little bit reserved, she never let it lie like that. Now these are not small things, these are very big things. But now, she used to undertake all this khidmat on her own and take care of all this without any issue, taking care of all the chores, whatever else, being very hospitable with everybody. In all this, he says he cannot remember when she missed her tahajjud. And long before he would wake up, she would be already up, have completed her tahajjud, starting off with her tilawat, and his own practice was to wake up quite early as well. So she would do all this well in advance, so that the day is going to be very busy. So the time for tilawat now, things might just come and get her occupied. So she completed her tilawat daily before Fajr, completed her nawafil, and now with all this, not missing her tahajjud, on a Jumu'ah, on a Thursday evening after the Maghrib Salah, he says he would come back after performing his Maghrib, etc., and finishing off and coming back. By the time he comes midway between Maghrib and Isha, she's already completed her Suratul Kahf. She's now busy with her 40 Durud and Salam. So the Amal of Jumu'ah would commence immediately upon the setting in of Jumu'ah, because the next day would be a busy day. Nothing must get left. So the one side, mashallah, the akhlaq, the mu'amalat, the mu'asharat of such a high level, but not allowing even the nawafil to get neglected. And the other amal, the tasbihat, etc., to get neglected. This combination, mashallah. So this was because of the encouragement of so many people, and in fact the insistence almost, and especially the encouragement of our Mufti Sahib. I then finally decided that, okay, we'll share some of these things. Some clips have gone out already. Many people would have heard those and been inspired by it. This was now for our purposes here in the madrasa. Allah Ta'ala give me also the tawfiq, all of us, to learn from many people. We'll learn from many people around us. What we learn from the books and kitabs, alhamdulillah, that is very important. But learn from the practical examples, the beautiful practical examples of people around, those who lived the essence of what we are learning the theory of. The theory is also very necessary, but unfortunately many a times it gets confined to the theory. MashaAllah, there are people who don't know too much of the theory, but they have the practice far beyond what we know the theory also. That is what we need to inculcate, the practice. Allah Ta'ala bless me and all of us with the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bima huwa ahlu. Rabbana walamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma aftah lana bil khair wa akhtim lana bil khair. واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.